What's happening, Bob?
Not much, boys. How about you?
We're doing all right, doing okay. I mean, we were listening to what Bruce Arthur had to say on the morning show about that story where he talked to Malkin post-game, and Malkin said, hey, it's difficult to win in this league, and look at Edmonton and Toronto chasing. Would those be the two teams, in terms of the young teams league-wide, that you expect to compete for cups in the next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. You know, you saw both teams took quantum leaps forward this year. And to the point that you guys brought up, I mean, identifiable superstar player that you can build around in Matthews in Toronto and McDavid in Edmonton, as well as, you know, a bunch of other young kids that they've accrued through years of being bad. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. There's no guarantee. But if you look historically at the teams that won Stanley Cups, and it's a rather small group. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh now has three in the post-lockout era, post-salary cap era. Chicago's got three. LA's got two. What's the common denominator for these teams? Well, you got Taves and Kane in Chicago, and you've got, you know, well, Kopitar wasn't really a lottery pick, but Drew Doughty was a top three pick. And in Pittsburgh, obviously, Crosby and Malkin. It's not the only way you win a Stanley Cup. You got to do a whole bunch of other things really, really well. But to that point, you generally need a superstar. Generally need a superstar center, and Toronto and Edmonton have them.
Bob, leading up to this expansion draft, we just saw you go, I guess, O-Dog called it Ron Textall on Twitter.
He knows everything. It's all going on.
There's a lot of activity.
Straight actually, fire right now, Bob. Straight fire.
Actually, no, it's actually very misleading. I just tweeted a press release.
Well, you're getting retweets.
But it sounds like, accepted. I mean, do you anticipate now with this expansion draft looming, I mean, is everything starting to heat up now that the finals are over? Like, this isn't just draft talk. This is a time where you're going to see a lot of movement. Are you expecting a lot of movement?
Well, I don't know if it'll happen before. There's a freeze that goes into effect on Friday at 3 o'clock. I think it's Friday at 3. I just finished typing it out, all the details. But, yeah, there's basically a roster freeze that goes into effect leading up to the expansion draft. So, you know, there may be some moves between now and Friday. I don't know how big they'll be, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we see moves. But I think the real action will... A lot of the stuff that's happening now is stuff that people are cooking up in Vegas. Vegas is very busy, and they're going to have multiple deals done. But the fruit of those deals may not become apparent until next week sometime. So, you know, as Vegas starts to go to the expansion draft process, then we'll start to get a better handle on what they, you know, who they cook to deal with and what they're getting for it and those types of things. So I think there's all sorts of talk going on that front. And there's other teams that want to try to avoid losing a player and are either trying to talk with Vegas or maybe try to move a guy somewhere else so they don't get caught losing a guy for nothing on the expansion draft. But then I think the real action will start after the expansion draft and leading up to the entry draft next week. And that's when I think teams will get the heavy lifting done.
Well, and it was this time last year where all of a sudden the rumors started to percolate a little bit. Okay, what teams are going to be in on the action? What kind of players? And you heard names like Subban. You heard names like Taylor Hall. And eventually those guys were included in deals. Taking Vegas out of it, because that's the obvious team that people are focused on right now, is there a team or a player and a player's status that is piquing your interest more than others?
That's a good question. I should have had some notes ready for this. I'm totally unprepared for the hard questions.
Yeah, but, curveball. It's like 60 minutes. You know what you're walking into.
Yeah, Larry King here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's interesting. I don't know that we'll anything of the magnitude of what we had after the draft last year when the Taylor Hall and Stamkos deciding to go back to Tampa and the Subban for Weber deal. I'd be surprised if we end up with a seismic 25 minutes like we did last year that was post-draft, but I don't know. I'm curious to see, you know, there's teams looking for goaltenders, and obviously I'm curious to see what happens to Marc-Andre Fleury. Does he end up in Vegas? Does he end up in Calgary? Does he end up somewhere else? And that would be one name that would certainly be at the forefront of it. I'm curious to see if Minnesota trades a defenseman, and whether it's Brodin or whether it's Dumba. You know, it's I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's anything else that really sort of jumps out at me, and I'm at a loss to come up with anything real quick.
Well, I mean, the Phaneuf stuff is interesting just based on the way it's going to play out in Ottawa and how they're right. going to have to handle it, because, you know, the reports came out over the past 48 hours that they did, in fact, approach him to waive, and then you've been reporting that he's more than likely he's not going to waive. It's not going
right.
to happen.
Yeah, we should point out, I said I expect that he's not waiving, but the official part of that doesn't kick in until Friday. Friday at 5, I think, is when basically all those no-move guys have got to be, you know, clarified one way or the other. Either they are waiving their no-move or they're not waiving their no-move, because everybody's got to gear up for the expansion draft and know who's available and who's not. So nothing becomes official until later this week. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, if I think the Senators are a team that are going 1-3-7 for their protection, and the three guys that they obviously want the priority to protect would be Erik Karlsson, Mark Messier, and Cody Ceci. And in a perfect world, they would expose Dion and his large contract and hope that Vegas doesn't take him, and then come back with their top four intact. I'd throw in Thomas Chabot as an apprenticing guy, and he got a pretty good defense there. But in this instance, at this point, it doesn't appear that Dion is going to waive his no move, and that means that, you know, they could lose Mathot, or they could look to trade Mathot, or they could look to trade CC, or look at various permutations between now and Friday.
How much friction do you think these conversations are causing, asking the player? I mean, I wouldn't want to do it if I was a GM, to go up to a guy and say, hey, do you mind waiving that no trade that you signed off and you're committed to? Like,
I'm sure nobody loves it. Here's the deal. I mean, if you're a general manager, listen, if I was a general manager, even though I know that it's probably not kosher to go to a guy and say, I know you fought long and hard to get this no-move clause included in your contract, but I'd like you to forget about it now. Will you do that? If I was a GM and it helped me, I would certainly do it at the risk of ticking off the player. If I was the player, I wouldn't hesitate to say, if I decided, you know what, I don't want to be exposed in the expansion draft, and I don't want to take a chance, and I want to stay here, and my no move is my no move. So no, I'm not waiving it. I don't blame a player for doing that either. So I can see both sides of it, and at the end of the day, one or the other is going to be supremely ticked off. Absolutely, you know, if you could be ticked off, and I'm sure when the GM is asking the player's ticked off, and then when the player says to the GM, "Nah, you don't want. I don't think I want to do it." Then it's the GM's turn to be upset. So it's a business, and everybody's got their rights, and you proceed accordingly.
Well, you're right. I mean, it is a business, and things happen, and teams are going to do whatever is in their best interest. But you're also dealing with human beings here who are going to be overly emotional. And, you know, forget even approaching a guy with a no move. Just some guy being exposed, even if he's not claimed, he knows he was available to be claimed.
Yeah, it's a ruthless business.
Right.
It really is. And, you know, there's no room for... I was going to say there's no room for hard feelings. There's room for hard feelings, but I mean, nobody cares at the end of the day. It's a tough business. That's why these guys, a lot of them, get paid as much as they do for a lot of the uncertainty that comes with it.
Well, and on the flip side, and I can't imagine this would apply to the majority of players, but if you were protected, man, I'd walk in there feeling like I was on top of the world. Like, you talk about a guy who might feel like he's really got some clout in that organization. I got protected. Like,
yeah, although in some instances where you've got guys with no move clauses, you know, they have to protect those guys. And so sometimes it, you know, and then some of them are so obvious that, you know, like I'm sure, you know, Jonathan Toews is, he knows he's getting protected. Mm-hmm. But you're right, there might be some organizations where there's somebody who's on the bubble and you find out, hey, I got protected, but it's all part of the biz.
Some guy throws like a $200,000 protection party. He's just ecstatic that his team is deciding to keep him around.
And then he gets traded.
And then the next day he's traded.
Yeah, you know what? And that's there's a lot of, you know, here's the other thing. When these protected lists come out, you know, like Anaheim's a good example. What our understanding is that Kevin Bieksa, who's got a no-move clause, was not asked by the deadline yesterday to waive the no move. So that means he's getting protected. Well, if Kevin Bieksa is getting protected, it likely means that Josh Manson is going to be exposed. Josh Manson's a real good defenseman. Josh Manson, as I understand it, I don't think he's getting claimed by Vegas. I think there's a deal cooked there that Vegas is going to take somebody else other than the obvious choice and we'll get something for it. Now, what that is and how valuable it is and that. So when we see all these protected lists and exposed lists, people are going to be going, oh, wow, look at this team. And then they're going to start building the Vegas Golden Knights, and then they're going to find out the expansion draft happens and some really good players don't get claimed, and they're going to be like, oh, what happened? You know? And it's because Vegas is getting inducements to not take certain players. So even when the lists come out on Sunday or Monday or whenever it is, you know, don't be fooled into thinking that everybody that's available is actually available.
See, that's where I think I find that whole angle fascinating, because if you're Vegas, why would you make them a deal so they can keep Manson? Why wouldn't you sit there and say, no, I'm not making it. I want him.
Well, because who knows what they're getting. You know, it might be worth what they believe to be more than Manson, although Manson's worth a lot. And what you also know is, if you're Vegas, you can sit there and say, well, you know what? Then they would have asked Bieksa to waive his no move. And if he doesn't waive it, then they probably would buy him out. And then they protect Manson and buy out Bieksa. And Vegas wouldn't get what they wanted from Anaheim, which is probably something tangible for, you know, whatever the deal may be. We have no idea what the deal is. We don't even know for certain that there is a deal, but I'm certainly comfortable speculating that I'd be the least surprised guy in the world that Anaheim's got a deal cooked with Vegas.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing how it all plays out, and keep the tweets hopping there, Bob, and we'll see where it goes.
May take the night off tonight and do expense reports.
That's a good
fun
call.
Night.
Yeah, you were on the road a lot. Take advantage.
A fun night. Exactly. Relax.